tonight's guest is an icon. He has been musician, actor, author, troubadour, instigator, and social commentator. I've had the pleasure of speaking with him several times on the radio. I had the pleasure of meeting him in Orlando, where he was very generous and gave me 45 minutes of his time to just sit down and talk to him. Ooh. On the day of a show. He blows me away with his insight into this world, and it's a pleasure to announce that he will be appearing at the Capitol Theater, an intimate room where you'll be able to see his spoken word performance. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Henry Rollins joins us on the phone. Henry, how have you been?
I'm good. How are you?
Man, good. It's great to hear your voice again, and I'm glad you're still walking this earth, man. Thanks a lot for the time.
Oh, no problem.
I was watching an address that you gave to some university somewhere where you said for the first time that you're the guy who puts the punk in punctual. Are you adopting that now as your tagline?
Well, I've been saying that for a while because it elicits a laugh. But I try and be on time and do stuff, and I think some people think, you know, punk rock people might be the ones late or, you know, too high to get the work done, and that's never occurred to me as to what any of that should be about. And so that's why I say that. I'm usually the one who's there early and over-prepared.
The theme of the speech that you were giving that I watched was how important it is to travel this world that we live in. And you have been to seven continents, including Antarctica, where I believe you you listened to Iggy Pop in your sleeping bag. Is that right?
Yeah, I was at Nico Harbor, and I wanted to be the first person at the edge of the Antarctic Peninsula to listen to Raw Power, the Stooges' third album, in its entirety. And I've not seen any documentation of anyone else having done that. So I think it's probably just me. And so I did that last year. Last November was when I finally got to the seventh continent. I'd been to the other six. And I said, I have to do this. I have to have my own Antarctic first. And I decided, you know, it's easy enough. No strain. And right. I put the ear plugs in and listened to the music while penguins... Gentoo penguins mated next to me. We're on an island full of penguins, you know, making the next generation, and it's a very loud night. It was, you know, beautiful, but that particular trip, I've been to almost 100 countries and all seven continents, as we said, and that might have been the most moving journey I've ever made, just because it's so pristine and it's so endangered. You know, every single thing there is endangered.
Right. When you travel the world, which you do extensively, and you write about in your books, which I devour like pizza, and I encourage everyone to do the same thing, you immerse yourself in what other people might consider to be dangerous situations, and you go so far as to get into a cab, tell the cab driver, here's $5, take me that way. You get out, you walk the earth, and you talk to natives, and you live in their culture for a few days. What do you come back with when it comes to observations about our country versus the rest of the world, Henry Rollins?
Well, I think that's, you kind of said it. It's our country versus, where we have often a real bellicose posture, where you look at another country and go like, well, come on, let's go. Like, well, they don't want to go. You know, they're not looking to get into it with you. You can, you know, put your sword down. And if you go to, like, all over Africa or the Southeast Asia, Central Asia, the Middle East, and you see people in situations with food and water insecurity, something that you and I might remember from the starving fun days of our late teens, early 20s, where you were living on top ramen noodles. But these people are looking at real, you know, just a really bad future, and they think about it all the time. And there's people who live their entire lifespan, all 46 years of it, without ever really thinking there's going to be a full meal the next day.
Right.
And it's humbling, and it makes you, you know, very grateful for what you have, but it gives you a bigger idea of how the world is run, and it really is run. Some continents, some parts of the world, like the West, you know, Europe, North America, Australia, New Zealand, we get the really, I think, the best slice of the pie. And the rest of the world, they get what they get. And in other parts of the world, they get kind of what everyone leaves behind They get the things that no one else wants. That's vast swatches of the world. And when you live in it for weeks and weeks at a time, it makes you more aware than watching any documentary or reading any book. And that's why I travel the way I do, is to try and get a more visceral idea of things rather than just watch the documentary and think I know something. And even by going to these places, I would never tell you that I know anything. It's just that I'm trying to get maybe a more realistic idea where I can kind of Henry-ize it.
Sure.
I'm never an expert of anywhere I go. I mean, I never will tell you that. Like, right. I spent a week in Saudi Arabia. That doesn't mean anything. But I have a much different understanding of it than before I went.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Henry Rollins, who comes to the Capitol Theater for a spoken word tour on Friday, October the 7th. Was the political assassination that you experienced in, I believe it was Iran, was that the most...
It was Pakistan. I was there when Bhutto was assassinated.
That's right.
Was
that the most, I don't want to say scared because you strike me as a guy who doesn't experience a lot of fear, but was that the most concerned you've ever been for your personal safety as you've traveled the globe?
No, and only because of spending a week in Baghdad. All night long, you just hear fire, return fire, and two mortars landed outside of a building I was in. And, of course, the walls are safe. I mean, nothing's going to happen. But it's really kind of ready to, you know, go off and going off at all times. Where at that thing in Pakistan, when Bhutto was assassinated, by the next morning, I'm in the Serena Hotel. Every diplomat from every embassy, you know, the embassy's emptied, and they were all at this hotel. So here's, like, sleepy children, angry diplomats, and Reuters. Like, you know, media's right. There, men in suits with Uzis. I mean, it was armed to the teeth because, you know, diplomats and whatever are all there. The front of the hotel is festooned with military because of all the people inside and me. I'm nobody. And so I kind of... said, pardon me, and got through the three layers of soldiers. And one guy said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to take a walk. He said, sir, it's dangerous out there. And I said, you know, sir, I come from America. You know, gun homicide is danger? Come on. I mean, you're sitting in a building in Florida right now, right?
Right.
Right. Well, danger, guns, something could happen. I think that's kind of your stock and trade by just where you are geographically placed presently. And so I walked around all day, not like no one's going to hurt me. I'm not a tough guy. I'm not looking for trouble. I just know how to carry myself. And if something breaks out, well, you know, find a way to make a joke and walk away.
Wow.
And so I spent the whole day amidst burning things and angry people. And no one seemed to notice me. I mean, people were just too busy with their, you know, their mourning and whatever. And so that was a time where I knew I was in a very big event. Historical event,
right?
But maybe just because I'm nuts, I didn't really feel any danger. But like in Afghanistan and Iraq, when I was there with the U.S., though, yeah, you feel like you do what the soldiers tell you to do, get in the bulletproof Humvee, and you know, just take your orders.
Sure. Henry Rollins joins us. He'll be at the Capitol Theater on October 7th. What is the main? Obviously, it's an election year, so I imagine that eats up a great deal of your talk time. What else can we expect to hear you talk about as you speak at the Capitol Theater, Henry?
I'll be talking about a lot of travel I made over the last few years since I did a big world tour. I traveled to Central Asia, Antarctica, Easter Island, rainforest in Ecuador, where I went there to learn about biodiversity and kind of codependent ecosystems, how they live off each other and make for one big ecosystem. It's I'm no scientist, but I learned a lot. It makes you really respect everything. I'll talk about all that. Some wreck diving I did on two different boats, ships.
Wow.
With a really amazing wreck diving team. Some interesting aspects of the History Channel show I did for a couple of years, where I got to see all kinds of really insanely rare historical things. And a lot of funny stuff, too.
Good.
Punctuated by this, you know, with the Antarctica stuff, it's not all that funny because it's just so, it's so serious, but I don't spend that much time lecturing any audience.
Sure. And before I...
That's the thing is, like, you get the impression that Henry Rollins is all serious, all angst all the time. But when you see him do spoken word, there are elements of comedy in it. Your comic timing is on point, and you're going to come away from that learning and laughing and hopefully caring a little bit. Before I let you go, is there any chance of you documenting this tour of yours, much like you did in my favorite companion pieces that you've written, The Dull Roar and The Preferred Blur? Those are two of my favorites because it's basically a diary of you traveling throughout the country and throughout the world. Any chance of you doing that and releasing those as literary works?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm writing about 1,000 words a day. The reason why you haven't seen a journal book since a grim detail was the last one. That was like Africa and all kinds of crazy locations. North Korea's in that one. Anyway, the reason why there hasn't been a book for a couple of years is I've just been too busy. There's like tons of manuscript material. There's like 4 or 5 books in various stages of completion. And so I edit with Heidi, who manages me. And we have a really good editing system, but we do it shoulder to shoulder. Mm. And I don't do it without her. I can kind of prep the manuscript, and so we need to be together to do it. And so next year, we're thinking we might have time to zero in on a couple of these books. And so there's more coming. There's a lot more writing that's just sitting here waiting to go. It's just that it's a time thing.
Good.
Where, you know, this year I've got like 140 shows in 20-some countries. I have 3 films out this year, one of which I wrote, and I've been all over the place crassly promoting all of those. And everything else, 52 radio shows, 52 articles for the LA Weekly, 12 a year for Rolling Stone Australia, etc. It's hard to sit down and edit. And so we're hoping next year. But no, I'm writing about everywhere I go, taking photos, etc. all the time.
Good. Well, when you do want to promote the film that you wrote, we'd love to have you back on. We'll definitely see you October 7th when you come to the Capitol Theater. It's always great catching up with you. I know that through reading your books and through speaking to you through the years, crippling depression finds its way into that cerebral cortex of yours. And the fact that you're able to fight through it is admirable. It's always great catching up, and continued success to you, sir.
Thank you. All right, Drew. We'll catch up later.
Sounds good, Henry. Take care.
See ya.
Bye-bye. That's Henry Rollins. In a nutshell, what a dude. What a guy, man. Our next guest, somebody that SBK and I had the pleasure of drinking with in Orlando at a St. Patrick's Day party.
I wasn't really drinking. I was standing there watching you drink.
And we actually had to pull Lance off of a guy because they were about to get into a fist fight.
I remember that part.
And I was blown away at how charismatic and nice of a guy Lance Bass was.
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us live from the Democratic National Convention, Mr. Lance Bass. What's up, dude?
How's it going, everybody?
Everybody's good, man. How have you been?
I'm good. I've lost my voice, unfortunately, but it's been really incredible this week. I've never been a part of a convention before, and I'm learning a lot.
I bet you are. You're losing your voice. What, you've been doing some chants? You've been doing some screaming? What have you been doing?
No, I'm actually here as a surrogate whip on the floor. So my job is to really talk to all the delegates, the Hillary Clinton delegates and the Bernie Sanders delegates, and really kind of help unite this party. And this is coming from someone who is a registered independent. I'm not a Democrat or Republican.
Yeah, I'm a libertarian myself, but, you know, a lot of people feel like they have to choose the lesser of two evils right now. Is that kind of how you feel, Lance?
Oh, not at all. You know, if you listen to the rhetoric, of course, everyone's going to be evil. you know, and I don't listen to, you know, when and if anyone's starting to, you know, trash any of the candidates, and that's Donald Trump included, I immediately tune out, you know, because I just know they have their own agenda. You know, I look for facts. I look at intent, what both candidates have done their entire lives. And I just use my common sense. You know, I'm a smart guy, and you know, the only smart decision for me, and this is coming from, you know, a Sanders supporter who now is a full-on Hillary Clinton supporter, you know, she's the only one. I mean, she's the only one that I can common-sensely say would do a good job running this country. And I'm all for the political revolution that has happened on both sides of the Republican and Democratic parties. But this political revolution can only happen with us supporting Hillary Clinton.
We're speaking with Lance Bass. Of course, you know him from NSYNC. He's also an actor, film producer, author, and gay rights activist.
Lance, after all these wonderful speeches, President Obama, Bill Clinton, what happens afterwards? Because everybody's flying so high. Are there big parties at the DNC?
There are a lot of parties. Unfortunately, I have not been to one because, you know, people like to talk and the speeches don't end until around midnight. So I go straight to bed because, I mean, as you can tell, all I do is talk all day long to all these delegates. And I just want to get off my feet because literally you're in a suit all day long, standing up for hours. And all you want to do is go home, order room service and sleep.
Yeah, I hear you on that one for sure. I saw that you were recently, this past weekend, at Pulse Nightclub. I'm from Orlando. Soul Brother Kevin's from Orlando. You used to go to the same clubs we went to. What was it like to stop by Pulse after the horrific event that took place there a couple of months ago, Lance?
I have to say it was so overwhelming. You know, I went there for Parliament House's 41st anniversary, so it was nice to see, you know, the LGBT community and all the straight allies together celebrating and being, you know, happy and honoring the people that passed away at Pulse. But when I got to Pulse Nightclub, I can't explain what it is that just made me immediately start, like, crying. The same feeling came over me when I started getting texts from all my friends saying, you know, are you okay? Are you in Orlando? Are your friends in Orlando okay? And I didn't know what had happened yet. And I immediately started bawling. And it just, this, I don't know, this feeling just came over me. And I can't describe what it is, but that's exactly what I felt like on Sunday when I stepped out of the car at Pulse.
We're speaking with Lance Bass. He is live at the Democratic National Convention. All right, something bad happens. You get thrown in jail and you don't have money to post bail. You have to call either JC, Justin, Joey, or Chris. Who is your first phone call, Lance Bass?
Oh, that's easy. J.C. Chazay. He was always the dad of the group, so he's the most responsible. But the only problem is it takes him 2 days to return a debt.
So, you know, he locked up for quite a while, but he will take care of it. Can you just pick up the phone and call Justin Timberlake now, or is he ascended to a level where he's like, yeah, listen, nothing but love, bro, but talk to my assistant?
Yeah, it takes him about 3 days to return a check. But, he's good. You know, we're all brothers, so, you know, we're family for life. We love each other. We hate each other. It's all the emotion.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. Well, listen, I appreciate the time, as always, Lance. It's great catching up with you, man. Couldn't be happier for you. Tell me a little bit about this Finding Prince Charming that you've got coming up this fall in Logo. This seems interesting.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm a huge reality television watcher. I mean, I like all television, but it's something about, you know, those reality shows that just get me. And I never really thought these dating shows really worked. I thought they were all fake. So being able to host it, I was like, yes, I'm going to be inside. I'm going to see how this really works. I mean, it really was legit. And our Prince Charming, you know, really started falling for all these guys. So it was interesting to see. And people are going to love it because it is an emotional roller coaster. There's a lot of heart. In fact, you'll see some really great storylines, you know, happen in the show. But then there's a lot of drama, too, where you're just like, I mean, get the popcorn and get ready because it is drama-filled.
Is this the first all-gay male dating show?
It is. I can't believe it's 2016, and this is the first all-gay, you know, dating show. They had one on Bravo years ago, which was a little insulting to the LGBT community because they didn't tell the Bachelor that that half the guys were straight. So it was kind of like almost like a joke on The Bachelor. And so, you know, it left a bad taste in the community's mouth. So that's why I think no one's really touched it in many years. But, you know, this is the first one. And I think people are going to be really pleasantly surprised with it.
Well, I appreciate what you tried to do there with gay dating show and tastes in mouth. But I'm going way away from that one, Lance Bass. Shame on you for even trying to take me down that road.
How dare you.
I would tell you to give your throat a rest for the next couple of days, but that would be going down another road that we did. What? I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
Always great to catch up, dude. Listen, good luck at the convention. Okay. Have some fun. Everybody follow Lance at Lance Bass on Twitter. And I hope that we talk to you soon, maybe in fall when we're going to promote this Finding Prince Charming. Yes, SBK, something for Lance.
Hey, Lance, are you still trying to go to space?
Well, actually, I am, and you might be hearing something in the next couple of years. Just soon.
Lance, you are the man. Go give that voice a rest, and we'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care, man. His throat's taking a pounding. Had to ask Haley what her favorite music was, and she said she likes Katy Perry, as most girls her age probably do. Very positive influence. Haley's sister is Olivia, Livy for short. Not Lily, but Livy. You go to livyshope.com, L-I-V-Y-S, hope.com to find out what Lemonade for Livy is all about, benefiting the Epilepsy Foundation. Their tagline, don't give up, give back. Livy and her sister Haley were the inspiration for the creation of Livy's Hope. I'm about to quote Haley with Haley sitting in the studio right here. I heard my mom and dad talking about how to raise money for Livy's expensive physical therapies. I told them that I wanted to help too. She immediately started making bracelets, painting pictures that she auctioned on eBay. Every day she was putting together a new creation, said she would do anything to help her sister Livy. It is a beautiful story of the love and dedication shared between sisters. Joining us now for the second year in a row, young Haley. Haley, how old are you now, and how has the last year been for you?
I am 11, and the last year has been great. There's been a lot of things happening. I've actually gone to a new school now, and that's gone.
All right.
And so far, it's been pretty good. And my dad has actually gotten a new job at the Epilepsy Foundation, and I am also working for the Epilepsy Foundation. In a way, I'm not actually getting paid. But my dad is actually now working at home, and I love seeing him every day.
Aww.
And he's been having a great time with that. And I actually now work for... I'm actually the president and CEO of the Epilepsy Foundation Kids Crew, which is like a way for kids to get involved with the epilepsy community and also to give back.
Good for you. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank
and congratulations
you.
On the new gig, Dad. That's awesome.
I got to say, her mic presence has improved immensely since last year when she was on the show.
You.
Yeah, you're really taking the bull by the horns. I'm getting the feeling that you probably appeared on a lot of television and radio shows in the last year, and that's gotten you a little bit more comfortable behind the microphone.
Talking to people. I love meeting people. Aww. I love being with people.
She's a gem, isn't she?
I wish I loved meeting people and talking to people.
Tell us a little bit about your sister and what it's been like growing up with this sister born with a brain malformation that resulted in epilepsy, cerebral palsy, a few other disabilities as well. How has it affected you and how has it changed the way that you see the world?
Well, Livy has had epilepsy since we were born, and she still has seizures every day, and she's had two brain surgeries, so it's really affected my whole family, but she still smiles every day, and I love that, because I love to cuddle with her, I love to do things with her, and she, because she's had seizures every day, it is kind of... made us really want to do more things. And also, it's kind of given me a new perspective to help other people.
Right.
And to really appreciate what you have, because someday you may lose it, because we were kind of worried about Livy, but now it's really amazing that she's not having as many seizures as she used to.
Great. I'm really glad to hear that. Now, tell us about Lemonade for Livy and how people can help promote awareness and hopefully raise some money for the Epilepsy Foundation, Haley.
Well, Lemonade for Livy is a program that my family started, and now it's actually a national campaign at the Epilepsy Foundation. And Livy was really the inspiration for Lemonade for Livy. And what we do is every year we want people from across the country and around the world to have lemonade stands to raise money for epilepsy research. And what we do every year is we want people to have a lemonade stand at least in one stand in every state across the country. And actually, as of today, we got two registered stands in the last two states.
Oh.
So I'm very happy to announce that. So let's give a whoop whoop to that, okay?
Whoop whoop!
So that's all 50 states now are registered?
All 50 states.
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon. You know the rest.
Everything.
All right.
What about D.C. and Puerto Rico?
No, that's a great question. Those are not quite states.
Okay.
Let's get 50 states while we can, then the commonwealths and communities and whatnot. Well, that's fantastic. So people can go to livyshope.com and they can register and create their own virtual lemonade stand and start to make a difference immediately to help the 65 million people in this country who do have epilepsy.
And I also want to say there's actually now... on July 30th, which is this coming Saturday, we are going to be having a lemonade stand with my friends in Dunedin, downtown Dunedin, from 10 to 2.
Dunedin.
It's at the Dunedin Historical Museum, and it's right by the Pinellas Trail, so you can ride your bike on down there.
I would love to.
And also, if you can't make it, because we all know how busy you are these days, yes, swimming and going on vacation and playing endless games on your devices, you can go to epilepsy.com/lemonadeforlivy to donate there. So we hope you can make it.
Downtown Dunedin, 10 to 2 this Saturday. Mm-hmm. I'm committing to you right now. I will be there. I'm committing this to you. I'll bring my bicycle so I can bicycle down the Pinellas Trail.
I'd love that.
Me too. And there are some fine restaurants there in Dunedin, the Black Pearl, the Living Room, and whatnot. And go get a nice meal, get some nice lemonade. Yes, Seth, a question for young Haley.
I have a question, and this might be for Dad, and I hope it's not too personal, but you said that the seizures have slowed down. Have you been experimenting with new medicine? Are you guys into that Charlotte's Web stuff, which has been known to help seizures?
It's a really good question, and it's probably a whole show in itself,
right?
Considering what's going on in Florida. But as Livy has grown older, she's settled down a little bit. She still has seizure activity every single day, and she has really bad days, which she can wrap off, 20 to 50 seizures in a couple hours.
Man.
So it's really tough. But she's on medication right now. She's been on it for a long time. Charlotte's Web is a potential for her. But it's really hard, though, because multiple doctors have to sign off on it
right
now. And they have to go through a whole process to get registered
sure.
in the state of Florida. And it's been legal in Florida for 2 years, but they haven't been producing it yet.
Yeah.
So that's what's tough.
And just this past week, they had the first dispensary open up in Tallahassee. So I'm sure that it's been an agonizing process watching how slow the wheels of progress turn. However, looks like there is some hope as it comes to low THC. THC strains of the miracle plant that could hopefully get some of these seizures under control.
Absolutely.
Which is great.
That's why all these idiots who want to vote against it, this is what it's for.
Yeah, and that's why I don't understand. I get it. We've demonized this plant since the 1950s. But when you can prove that there are medical benefits to something, to deprive people like your sister, like your daughter, who could benefit from this research, to deprive them of that and to force fathers and sisters to watch their loved ones have multiple seizures a day doesn't make any sense to me. And I hope that when people vote in November, they'll do the right thing and vote yes on two. And I hope that we see some more of these dispensaries and more doctors start to sign off on parents and sisters watching their loved ones suffer less from epilepsy. Now, let's get to the important stuff. Are we talking pink lemonade? Are we talking yellow lemonade? Are we talking frozen lemonade?
Well,
pulp, no pulp?
No pulp.
I don't really know that they put pulp in lemonade.
Oh, I put pulp in lemonade.
Okay.
I have my pulp imported from Venezuela.
I'm not exactly sure what's going to be there, but I can almost guarantee that it's going to be fresh squeezed from Publix.
All right. We have Haley in the studio with us and her dad. Livvyshope.com is the website. Lemonade for Livy goes on this Saturday. And if you want to open up a virtual lemonade stand, if you're a kid and you want to sell lemonade in your neighborhood and donate some of the money to epilepsy research, that would be awesome as well. You are probably going into sixth grade, or are you going into...
Yes, good job.
Thank you. I have a 13-year-old. I was able to back that up a little bit. Do you think that this experience that you've had with fundraising, with awareness, that this is shaping what you would like to do with the rest of your life, Haley?
I actually do think it probably will, because I love speaking in front of people and doing that kind of thing, and I think I'll probably do something about meeting people when I get older, and I really love to do that. So it's important to do what you love to do when you grow up. So
it is very important.
I got a text from Caleb, Jacob Two-Time's brother, and he said, wow, this girl's incredible. Talk about chills. I hope I'm half the sibling to Jacob that she is to her sister.
And he is. Jacob is a friend of ours who also has CP, and what his brother does to give him a life is breathtaking, and what you do for your sister as well, Haley, is it's inspirational, and everyone should have a sibling like you, an advocate like you. And I know that Livy is very, very fortunate that you care about her the way you do, and what you're doing to make your mark on this world is amazing, and you should be very proud of yourself. You're very welcome. You're an incredible young lady. I always love catching up with you. Livvyshope.com is the website. This Saturday, Dunedin, 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock. I figured 10 o'clock would be a good time to come because the oppressive heat has not yet made its way into the area. So
it hasn't.
That's what you get when it's summertime.
That is is very...
But still, you want to come down and grab your nice cold cup of lemonade on a hot summer day.
That's absolutely true. So I'll be there this Saturday morning if anybody wants to come on out and say hello and get some delicious lemonade for Livy that creates epilepsy awareness and raises funding for the Epilepsy Foundation. It goes on this weekend, Dunedin, 10 to 2. And where in Dunedin did you say it was, young lady?
At the Dunedin Historical Museum.
Historical Museum. Dunedin's not a very large place. I'm sure I'll be able to find it. They have that ice cream place in downtown Dunedin, too, that they have.
It's right near there.
Oh, they make their own hot fudge. Strons. I'm telling you what. That's exactly what it is. Oh, my gosh. Is it incredible?
What about Dodge's Chicken?
What?
Have you heard about that?
Dodge's Chicken?
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever I go there with Phoebe, we drive by, and there's a place at a gas station called Dodge's Chicken.
Dodge's Chicken? That's a national thing.
Do they throw the chickens at you so you have to dodge them? It kind of sounds like what the title would be.
That does lead you to believe it would be like that, but no, you can just go in and purchase it, and they'll give it to you. Dodge's, they are in gas stations throughout the country, and it's some of the best fried chicken that you're going to have.
Come on, man.
We've talked about gas station cuisine before. There's a gas station right around the corner from here. I think it's in Pinellas Park that has chicken livers and gizzards, and people line up for hours to eat fried chicken livers and gizzards from a gas station. See, you've learned something today. I've learned something today. We've all grown together. Again, Haley, you're an inspiration. Keep it up.
Thank you. I also want to say I kind of have like a little game thing for you.
A game?
Yeah, so you see this beach ball right here.
Yes, I do.
Well, what I'm going to do is I have five jokes here, and if you get any of them right, you get the beach ball.
I'm
going to
get all five of them right. I'm a joke machine. Hit me.
So the first one is, what do you get when you cross a cat and a lemon?
A cat, a sourpuss.
Yes!
All right, that's one. Bring it on.
Okay, why did the lemon stop rolling down the hill?
Let's see, it's a sour, pucker, lemon stop rolling down the hill, rind, squeezed, lemonade.
This is your specialty.
I know, lemonade, pink lemonade, what's citrus, orange? Because it was puckered out?
No.
That was a good guess, though, right?
Yes, that was a good guess. But because it ran out of juice.
Ran out of juice. All right, I'm one for two.
You were close, though.
Keep feeding me the rock. Come on.
Okay, what do you call a dancing pie?
A dancing pie. Mm-hmm. Crust, dancing pie, crust, a dancing pie, cake, a dancing pie, dancing pie, apple pie, Alamode pie. I don't know. What is
it? Okay. It is a lemon meringue.
Oh, I should have known that. Stupid. Sorry. Okay. Not you, me.
So there is
Come on, two more. Here we go.
What do you call a lemon that performs for charity?
A lemon that lemonade.
Yes.
Yes, because aid is what we give to charity. All right. So
the last one.
Here we go. I got
all
two
right.
for two. Oh, boy.
Two for four.
Two for
Why
four.
Why did the lemon feel depressed?
The lemon felt depressed because he was a sourpuss?
No.
The lemon felt depressed because he was, because he looked at the current state of political affairs in the United States of America and couldn't relate to either party and wondered how
that's
the heck we're going to live for the next 4 years.
Close.
Oh, am I right? I don't know. Why was the lemon depressed?
Because it lost its zest for life.
Oh, zest. Oh. Lemon zest.
But still, you got two.
Give me the beach ball. Woo! Give me the beach ball. I want the beach ball. Thank you. All right. This is great.